Good evening, again. For those of you who were here last week and saw me here last week, I want to reassure you that Father Wilson is fine. There's nothing wrong with him. It's just that, of course, he has all the masses in the parish, and after five masses on the weekend, a sixth one would certainly be a lot for him or for any priest, and with the schedule in my own parish, this is the only mass that I'm able to help him with on the weekend. So you may see me here more in the coming weeks, depending on how soon the diocese can get some more regular help to Father Wilson, so please pray for that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our gospel ends today with the Lord telling us, "Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." St. Francis Xavier lived in the first half of the 16th century and was probably the most prolific missionary in the history of the church, with the possible exception of St. Paul. One of the first followers of St. Ignatius of Loyola in his new Society of Jesus, or the Jesuits, Francis Xavier was not only convinced of his own need for a saving relationship with the Lord, but also that of every human person. Because of that, he spent the majority of his 46 years bringing the gospel to the ends of the earth. Throughout his missionary journeys in India, Southeast Asia, China, and Japan, Francis Xavier baptized over 100,000 people. His right arm, the arm that baptized probably more people than anyone ever, can be seen in a reliquary at a very beautiful side altar in the Church of the Gesù, which is kind of the head Jesuit church in Rome. St. Francis Xavier did not labor to such an extraordinary extent simply because it was his job. He did so because he recognized that salvation comes only through Jesus Christ, and that the Lord called us to make disciples of all nations. Now we can contrast the life of St. Francis Xavier the missionaries who've worked with a tribe known as the Yanomami tribe in the Amazon in Brazil. There's currently a focus on the Amazon region in the church due to the upcoming synod in Rome. Now, this particular tribe practices and has practiced for centuries things like polygamy, human sacrifice, and cannibalism. Now, missionaries, as I've said, have served these people for 53 years at this point. And when I say they've done a service, I really mean a disservice. Because over the past 53 years, those missionaries have not baptized a single person. Instead of the sacraments and catechesis and focusing on a relationship with the Lord, they've focused on a false sense of dialogue and encouraged the tribal members to simply try to be better people. When we were baptized, we received a candle lit from the Paschal candle, and were exhorted through our parents and godparents to always keep the light of Christ burning brightly. Now, that flame is of utmost importance for our own relationship with Jesus, but the light and warmth emitted by that flame demonstrates our corporal and spiritual responsibility to our neighbor. Our corporal responsibilities include the traditional seven corporal works of mercy: feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, sheltering the homeless, visiting the sick, visiting those in prison, and burying the dead. Now, these works of mercy are clearly essential in the life of a Christian, and those who refuse to take these up are like the unfaithful steward who refused to distribute food to his servants and proceeded to beat them. At the same time, equally essential for us are the spiritual works of mercy: admonishing the sinner, instructing the ignorant, counseling the doubtful, bearing wrongs patiently, forgiving offenses willingly, comforting the afflicted, praying for the living and the dead. Now, clearly, none of these works in particular are possible until and unless we are convinced that salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone, and that it is our duty to bring him to everyone that we meet. If we are indifferent as to the truth of the Catholic faith, then we are indifferent as to our own salvation and that of every other person. Now, of course, we never want to browbeat people or to intentionally try to make people feel uncomfortable. But all of us have people in our lives, Catholic and non-Catholic, who don't have a proper understanding of what the Church teaches, or who need some more or less firm fraternal correction. And to intentionally leave these people, especially people close to us, in their supposedly blissful ignorance, is not love, but rather its opposite. We have a serious obligation, first to our children and close family, but then to others, to help our neighbor to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And most often, our neighbors have never actually heard what the Church teaches about certain things, whether it's contraception or sexuality or family life or more theological issues like the Eucharist or confession, what we believe about the Blessed Virgin Mary. Most people have never actually heard what the Church teaches about any of these things in a complete, coherent, and loving manner. The following quotation from the soon-to-be-blessed Archbishop Fulton Sheen illustrates this fact in his usually brilliant and pithy manner. He says, and he's writing in the 1950s, so, "There are not over 100 people in the United States who hate the Catholic Church. There are millions, however, who hate what they wrongly believe to be the Catholic Church, which is, of course, quite a different thing. These millions can hardly be blamed for hating Catholics because Catholics, quote, adore statues, because they, quote, put the Blessed Mother on the same level with God, because they say, quote, indulgence is a permission to commit sin, because the Pope, quote, is a fascist. If the Church taught or believed any one of these things, he says, it should be hated. But the fact is that the Church does not believe or teach any one of them. It follows then that the hatred of the millions is directed against error and not against truth. As a matter of fact, if we Catholics believed all of the untruths and lies which were said against the Church, we would probably hate the Church 1,000 times more than they do." As Christians, we've been given the greatest of gifts, the pearl of great price. But that gift is not ours. We are but stewards. And a significant part of that stewardship involves how we pass that gift on to others. Do we sit complacent, simply believing that we've done all we can? Do we figure that Jesus doesn't really care about what people's faith is? Do we consider it more important to be spiritual than religious? Of course, religion is simply the sum total of our responsibility to God. It's what we owe to him. And that includes everyone, even those that have never heard of him. And that's why we must be those faithful and prudent stewards of the gifts that we've received, so as to be that blessed servant whom the Master finds ready on his arrival. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.